Governor Walker is expected to sign the newly approved state budget this week, but not before making some vetoes. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. We'll talk with WPR State Capitol reporter Laurel White about the veto assurances Senate Republicans received from Governor Walker in exchange for their support of the two-year budget. We'll also recap the passage of the Foxconn incentives package and discuss other developments from under the state capitol dome. And in our second half of the State Capitol Report, we'll talk with Republican State Senator Dewey Strobel, who was withholding his support of the state budget until Governor Walker agreed to some specific vetoes. And we will welcome your questions and your reactions for both of our guests at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Let me welcome Laurel White, Wisconsin Public Radio State Capitol Reporter. She joins us in the studio. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
So the Senate voted Friday night to approve this budget, but there was some little bit of drama there, wasn't there?
There was. So they came to the floor at 9:30 on Friday morning. And when they came to the floor, we weren't sure if Republicans, who have the majority in the Senate, had enough votes to pass the budget. So they came in, they gaveled in, and then they immediately went to caucus, which means they go to meet to kind of negotiate and chat. And they came back at 12:30. And we heard they have the votes. They needed to swing. So there were four senators who said they were still no votes on the budget as of Friday morning. So they needed to swing just one more of those to get the number that they needed to get the budget through the chamber. And so they came back at 12:30 and they said, we have enough votes, but we didn't know who had switched. So it was kind of this intrigue and drama through the day on Friday to kind of figure out who had changed their mind of the four senators. And eventually we found out that it was actually three of the four who had been negotiating kind of as a block that had been talking to the governor by phone, because of course the governor was in South Korea last week. So probably some odd timing there, late night, early morning for him, but they came to an agreement.
Well, and we'll get into those specifics, but who were the holdouts initially?
So initially, the four holdouts were Senator Dewey Strobel, who's from Saukville, and you're going to be chatting with him later. I'm interested to hear what he has to say. Senator Chris Kapinga from Delafield, Senator Steve Noss from Whitewater, and Senator David Craig, who represents the town of Vernon.
And everyone on that list of holdouts except Senator Craig voted for the budget.
That's right.
Why did Senator Craig not vote for the budget?
So he released a statement right after the final vote and said that the budget does include some things that he's supportive of. He mentioned the repeal of the state prevailing wage law. We can chat a little bit more about that later. But he said overall, he says, quote, the budget fails in its primary function to appropriately limit the size of government.
Yeah.
So I think he was sort of seen as budget negotiations went on as just kind of a hard no on the budget, just because of, for that reason. It just did too much.
And all of the Democrats, I presume, voted against it?
That's right. Yeah. We did hear a little bit on Friday morning that Republican leadership, and this wasn't confirmed by Republican leadership, but that they had reached out to a couple Democrats to try to get Democratic votes to get the budget through the chamber if they couldn't get those four Republicans. But that didn't end up happening.
Yeah. And generally, Democrats said no because?
Oh, they were concerned about a variety of things. You know, one of the big things that Democrats talked quite a bit about over the course of debate was the state transportation budget. And that, of course, has been the real sticking point for negotiations, why the budget is more than, or was more than 2 months late. And I think we have a clip from Senator John Erpenbach, who's from Middleton, and he outlined Democrats' concerns with the transportation budget as it passed.
Governor Walker is probably the most irresponsible governor when it comes to infrastructure I think the state has ever seen, ever. You can't be open for business when all you do is drive over potholes in this state.
Sorry.
So pretty clear, yeah.
All right, so back to then, though, the Republican holdouts who said we're not voting for the budget because what did they want?
So they wanted a whole list of things, this list of kind of, I don't know, a wish list, I guess you might call it, came out on Wednesday of last week. and it had probably 10 different things. And so they negotiated with the governor and got several of those. What's interesting about this is they got those things through the governor and his veto powers rather than introducing them as amendments to the budget, because if they did that, the budget would have to go back to the assembly after it passed the Senate. And Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said, no way, I'm not taking up the budget again. The assembly is done. So if they were going to get these changes, they had to get them through the governor's veto power, and they were able to do that. So some of those changes are eliminating a $2.5 million study on tolling in Wisconsin. So this is something that the legislature has actually done before. They did a $1 million study in the last budget. This is just kind of taking the steps to getting that federal approval to implement tolling in the state. So without this $2.5 million study, I think it's safe to say that Wisconsin is moving more slowly to that option for new revenue for roads. There was also another element in their negotiations. They wanted an immediate repeal of the state's prevailing wage law for state-funded construction projects. That's already barred for locally funded construction projects.
It was going to be repealed, but not immediately.
Right. Yeah. I believe it was September of 2018. And then in negotiations, it was going to be January, and then it got bumped to immediately. So I'm just kind of moving up the timeline on that. And then there was also, there's a whole handful of measures, and I know you're going to talk to Senator Strobel later, but there was another one that was interesting. It limits when school districts can have referendums on ballots. So there was a provision in the budget that would have allowed school districts to have referendums on special elections, and now the budget will only allow them to do so on regularly scheduled general election and primary days. So just kind of cutting back on those a little bit. But interestingly, they did get several of the things that they wanted. But Senator Chris Kapinga, who was one of the holdouts, talked to reporters before they cast their yes votes when they were expected to do so, and said that he still wasn't particularly happy with the budget, even with these changes.
I don't think anybody is extremely happy. Nobody loves this budget from the three who are going to vote yes. But again, it got us close enough to where we want to get this done, get the state moving again.
Yeah, I mean, any thoughts, Laurel, on how unusual this is to have the governor promise or assure members of his own party that he'll veto certain items?
This isn't something that I am aware of. So this is my first budget as a Capitol reporter. So I can't say, you know, in my experience, this is the first time this has happened, because this is the first time anything has happened in my experience. But it seemed to be pretty unusual. Just through the course of kind of debating and people saying, how are they going to get these four Republicans on board, or just, you know, one of the four that they needed, without being able to send the budget back to the assembly? That was a real kind of standoff in the legislature. How are they going to make these changes when it can't go back to the assembly, and how are they going to get around that? And of course, the governor's veto is the way to do that, and they did it.
So he promised those specific vetoes. We don't know, though, what else he might veto. I mean, the governor has a pretty powerful veto power.
He does. It's been rolled back in recent years. It used to be even more powerful. I heard that previous governors could actually veto letters in words.
The Vanna White veto, they called
it.
Yeah,
exactly. So he can't do that anymore, but he can do an awful lot. And the vetoes that he negotiated with the senators were outlined Friday night after the budget was passed. But of course, he could do even more. TBD, you know, we'll obviously get those veto messages when he does that.
And he will sign the budget and let us know about all of his vetoes sometime this week. At least he wanted to sign this before summer ended, and summer ends this week.
That's right. Yeah, he was getting very technical. The last official day of summer is September 22nd. So that date has been floated around the state capitol for weeks now as the time when the governor wants to sign the budget. So that's Friday.
Yeah.
So if he sticks to that.
We only have a minute before a news break. Is there anything that's really different about this budget than what the governor originally proposed?
It's pretty close. It's pretty close to what the governor proposed. I mean, it's still got that funding bump for K-12 education, property, and that was a big thing that he wanted. Property taxes are lower than they were in 2011. That was another thing that the governor really pushed for. So I think on the whole, this is consistent with what the governor proposed.
Yeah, the only difference with 30 seconds is the transportation budget. It will borrow less and it increases fees on the hybrids and electric vehicles.
Right, about $100 million less than the governor proposed in borrowing and that new fee.
We'll come back from news and maybe wrap up our talk about the budget. Maybe you have a question or a reaction about the budget that is now on its way to the governor's desk. And we'll also talk about that Foxconn incentives package that got final legislative approval last week. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the State Capitol Report. You're listening to the State Capitol Report. I'm Joy Cardine. We are talking with our State Capitol reporter, Laurel White, about the state budget, which wrapped up legislatively anyway on Friday night. We'll also talk some about the Foxconn incentives package passing as well. We welcome your thoughts, your questions, whatever reactions you might have, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to ideas@WPR.org. Coming up in less than 10 minutes, we'll be welcoming in Republican State Senator Dewey Strobel, who'll talk about why he was holding out on the state budget until Governor Walker assured him and some other holdouts that he would make some specific vetoes. Laurel, we have Linda on Facebook who says, we need to vote them all out. This was a disgusting budget. Okay, there's her reaction. Maybe talk a little bit about general legislative reaction to the budget when it comes to, I know it also passed the state assembly last week. Who likes it, who doesn't?
Well, Republicans in general are very strongly in favor of this budget. They like it because, it reduces property taxes. It eliminates a couple different specific taxes and tax credits. It eliminates the working families tax credit. It rolls back part of the state's personal property tax, which is a tax that some businesses pay on their equipment. So they consider that a real win. And I think we actually have a clip from Representative John Nygren, who's the co-chair of the Budget Committee, a Republican. He talked a little bit about why he thinks this is one of the best budgets, if not the best budget, that he's worked on as a lawmaker.
This budget spends $500 million less than what the governor gave us. We are changing the curve on borrowing and spending. We are making a commitment to the people of Wisconsin that we will live within the means that you give us. If we don't have the dollars to fund our transportation wants, we don't do them. The Joint Finance Committee has sent a message to the taxpayers of Wisconsin that we're on your side rather than the side of government.
And again, why are Democrats disappointed with this budget?
Well, Democrats are disappointed that they say there isn't a long-term solution for funding roads in Wisconsin. That was a big argument. A lot of the transportation debate was focused around coming up with a new form of revenue, whether that was a gas tax increase or a vehicle registration fee increase, which was something that even Republicans had pushed for at different points. There were also, of course, a number of things that Democrats wanted in the budget that they proposed for the budget through amendments that weren't approved by Republican majorities. We have a clip from another Joint Finance Committee member. This is Representative Katrina Shankland, who is a Democrat from Stevens Point.
So the way that I see this budget, Mr. Speaker, there's a long list of missed opportunities, and there's also a long list of misaligned priorities, where the millionaires get the tax breaks while working families get their taxes raised, where the voucher schools get more expanded taxpayer dollars to them while public school kids are asking where their sparsity aid went, where UW barely gets anything, and our roads get no good solution, while our local governments get undermined and preempted by a micromanaging Republican caucus that is more interested in writing new rules for the UW and our local governments than they are in holding institutions like WEDIC accountable and fixing the problems that King and Lincoln held.
All right, so just in conclusion on the state budget, anyway, the governor is going to make his vetoes. It will be those that he agreed to in negotiations, and who knows what else.
Right. Any other number of vetoes could appear when he signs the budget. We'll just have to keep track.
And we will have him, he will probably sign that budget this week. We're going to move on to the Foxconn incentive package now, and I think Felix and Madison attended the debate on Foxconn last week and wants to share what he saw. Hi, Felix.
Hello. Hey, I'm just a resident of Wisconsin, and I become really interested in knowing what's going on with this Foxconn bill. So I've been talking with representatives and a senator, and I had the opportunity to go and view the assembly hearing last week regarding the Foxconn bill, because I wanted to see how things are going. And I got to say, my perspective as an outsider, as a citizen, is that I was kind of disappointed a number of times when I saw the behavior of the representatives on the floor. It seemed like they weren't really listening to each other. They weren't paying attention to each other. And there were, as I observed them, I could see representatives twiddling on their cell phones while other representatives were giving perspective of their constituents. And honestly, I'm not really fond of seeing that.
Yeah, so, let me jump in, Felix, as we're running short of time with Laurel. And that kind of talking, walking, playing with cell phones while other senators might or state representatives might be on the floor saying something. How unusual is that, Laurel?
It's not incredibly unusual. I mean, some of the talking and cell phone use and computer use is as they're working through different legislative things. So they might be negotiating or working through some potential changes that are going to come up on the floor. But that was actually something that one representative called another out on during the Foxconn debate last week. Sometimes they stand up and say, you know, I'd like to ask another representative a question. And they often use that as a way to kind of prove a political point, like, oh, well, how would you pay for this? Or how do you respond to this argument kind of thing? And one representative stood up and said, you know, I'm calling out this person because I see they're on their cell phone. So, right. So I'm asking them specifically just because of that.
Oh, no.
So it is something that comes up.
Speaking of Foxconn, we just have a couple of minutes to kind of wrap this up or summarize this. So what did the state legislature do last week with the Foxconn incentives package?
So the $3 billion incentive package passed the state Senate on Tuesday on a 20-13 vote. So it was one Republican voted with Democrats, one Democrat voted with Republicans, kind of a little switch there. We saw that in the assembly when it originally passed that body as well, kind of a bipartisan vote. And then it had to go back to the state assembly for concurrence because the Senate added a couple changes. So it passed the assembly again on Thursday, and now it is going to Governor Scott Walker, and he is actually signing the incentive package today.
He will sign it today. Mm-hmm. Since we have just about a minute or so, we can probably share State Senator Robert Wirch, who is a Democrat from Kenosha, where Foxconn will be near when it builds. He supported this plan, the only Democrat to do so?
In the Senate,
Senate.
Only Democrat.
And presumably that was because he wanted the jobs in that area?
That's right, yes. He comes from a family of manufacturers, and he said he's watched manufacturing jobs leave the region. He's seen plants close down, and so he sort of followed that line of thought in this clip.
That, unfortunately, was repeated in many different factories in the Racine, Kenosha area. I watched the workers spiral down the economic ladder. And I had to vote to get some of that Far East money coming into our area to create manufacturing jobs. Manufacturing jobs are the best jobs.
And why did State Senator Robert Coles of Green Bay join Democrats to vote against Foxconn?
So he had a whole number of reasons. It wasn't one specific thing. He said that the deal is just too expensive. It's $3 billion. He was concerned that there weren't more guaranteed clawbacks for, you know, getting some of those tax credits back if Foxconn didn't meet certain job creation goals. He didn't like not having that in legislation. He was also concerned about some of the environmental waivers and things that are part of the Foxconn deal, allowing Foxconn to do things like reverse the course of streams. So he had a whole number of concerns and joined Democrats in voting against the package.
We will leave it there. Still a lot more happening at the state capitol, but our time is gone for this segment. Laurel, thanks very much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Laurel White is Wisconsin Public Radio state capitol reporter, and this is the State Capitol Report.